Welcome to That's What She Said, a podcast of sermons preached at Galileo Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, near Fort Worth, Texas. I'm Remy Owens. My pronouns are they, them, and theirs, and I'm the director of this podcast. Galileo Church exists to seek and shelter spiritual refugees, who for us are people for whom the church has become boring, irrelevant, exclusive, or even painful, especially people who've been pushed out because of their gender or sexuality. If you yourself are a spiritual refugee, we're especially glad you're listening.
Good evening. I'm Irie. My pronouns are she, her, and hers. I'll be reading our preaching text tonight from two parts of 2 Samuel. The first part is 2 Samuel chapter 20, verses 1 and 2, and then 2 Samuel 20, 14 through 22. For those of you who may be new, we are starting a new sermon series tonight. The theme of that sermon series is Unbowed, Unbent, and Unbroken, Resistance Figures in the Bible. And so we're beginning with this text. A troublemaker from the tribe of Benjamin was there. His name was Sheba, and he blew a trumpet to get everyone's attention. Then he said, "People of Israel, David, the son of Jesse, doesn't belong to us. Let's go home." So they stopped following David and went off with Sheba. But the people of Judah stayed close to David, all the way from the Jordan to Jerusalem. Meanwhile, Sheba traveled through all the tribes of Israel and eventually came to the town of Abel. All the members of his own clan assembled for battle and followed him into the town. When Joab's forces arrived, they attacked Abel. They built a siege ramp against the town's fortifications and began battering down the wall. But a wise woman in the town called out to Joab, "Listen to me, Joab. Come over here. I want to talk to you." As he approached, the woman asked, "Are you Joab?" "I am," he replied. So she said, "Listen carefully to your servant." "I'm listening," he said. Then she continued, "There used to be a saying that if you want to settle an argument, ask advice at the town of Abel. I am one who is peace-loving and faithful in Israel, but you are destroying an important town in Israel. Why do you want to devour what belongs to the Lord?" And Joab replied, "Believe me, I don't want to devour or destroy your town. That's not my purpose. All I want is a man named Sheba from the hill country of Ephraim who has revolted against King David. If you hand over this man to me, I will leave this town in peace." "All right," the woman replied, "we will throw his head over the wall to you." Then the woman went to all the people with her wise advice, and they cut off Sheba's head and threw it out to Joab. So he blew the ram's horn and called his troops back from the attack. They all returned to their homes, and Joab returned to the king of Jerusalem. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. God empowers certain people to become strategic leaders committed to protecting and preserving their communities. The Black Mambas, as you saw in the video earlier, are an example of such leaders. They are the world's first all-female anti-poaching unit in South Africa. These women have one goal: saving rhinos from extinction. The illicit sale of the rhino horn has become one of the most valuable commodities in the world, worth as much as gold, diamonds, and even cocaine. Greedy and unscrupulous people come into these African communities. They hunt, they brutalize, and butcher rhinos. Smugglers then leave with their horns to potentially make hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's estimated that in South Africa, one rhino is killed every 7 hours. To save South Africa's rhinos, they've experimented with various technologies, drones, thermal optics, and satellite tracking. But the only thing that has shown any return on its investment are the black mambas. These women have specialty training in tracking and bushcraft. I didn't know what bushcraft was, so I had to look that up. It's wilderness survival skills. These women are astute in bushcraft. The Black Mambas is a movement led by women who resist the destruction of their community and its valuable assets. The Me Too, Church Too, and Black Lives Matter movements are also movements created and led by women to resist patriarchy, white supremacy, and racism. These movements are needed because, unfortunately, there are those who actually look for opportunities to steal, kill, and destroy the vibrancy and vitality of human beings and their communities, in order that they might gain profits, prestige, and or power. Such was the case of the man, in our preaching passage. Sheba, after observing hostility between the tribes of Judah and Israel, he sees an opportunity to create division, to stoke the fires of discontent among the people. Sheba wanted to divide and conquer. So he stages a revolt against King David and convinces all the people of Israel to follow him. It appears the people of Israel were jealous of the tribe of Judah because David seemed to have a closer relationship, a closer ties with the tribe of Judah. So Israel left David to follow Sheba. But the tribe of Judah remained faithful, following him, the Bible says, steadfastly from the Jordan to Jerusalem. You know, I can imagine David seeing the Israelites leave and go with Sheba. I can imagine his disappointment and him saying, "These Israelites ain't loyal." Now, before we go any further, I need to provide a bit of context so we understand where David's head is when this coup is attempted. See, David had just returned from Jerusalem after running for his life from his own son, Absalom, who led a rebellion against him. Upon his return to Jerusalem, David learned that Absalom, his son, the one who had him on the run, the one who raped his wives on the top of the palace in front of all of Israel to see, Absalom, the son who orchestrated a coup, had recently been killed by Joab, the military leader, despite David's instructions to Joab to bring him back alive. Joab was a bad man, a fierce and oft ruthless leader. Joab was the son of David's sister Zeruiah and one who also conspired with Amnon, David's other son, to rape his sister Tamar, who Absalom subsequently murdered. But despite his hot-tempered nature and take-no-prisoners attitude, Joab was loyal to the throne. And so Joab set out to find Sheba and to handle up on some business. Sheba and those who joined him in the rebellion took flight. The Bible says Sheba passed through all the tribes of Israel until he arrived in Abel Beth Maachah, where he found safety, sanctuary, and refuge. The people of Abel were harboring a fugitive and probably didn't know it. But Joab did. And so he and his brother Abishai pursued Sheba to the town of Abel. Sheba's in hiding, and Joab and the boys have just arrived. It was about to be on and popping up in Abel. Joab's men begin battering the wall of the city to break it down. Then something unusual happened. Joab heard a voice, but not just any voice. He heard the voice of a woman. The woman was inside the city of Abel on the other side of the wall, but her voice was loud enough for Joab to hear her over the battering of the wall. Beloved, there are times when a woman must raise her voice, when we must get loud, like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, political activist and candidate for U.S. Congress. Last week, Alexandria got loud. She raised her voice as she talked about sexual assault to a listening crowd. She said, sexual assault is not a crime of passion. It is about the abuse of power. It is always women, she says, who are marginalized. It is the young. It is the interns. It is the immigrant. It is the trans. They are always most at risk. She raised her voice. She got loud. We must raise our voices and tell our stories of assault and abuse, even if we're not believed. See, there's a certain kind of freedom that comes when we raise our voices and let go of shame-filled secrets. Following the example of the woman in our text, there are times when we have to raise our voices. Like when our children lay dead in the streets because of the implicit bias of some police officers. We must raise our voices against discrimination, sexism, gender-based violence, and any and everything else that threatens our own well-being and that of our communities. Joab heard the loud voice of a woman. The voice echoing from the other side of the wall said, "Listen to me. Come over here. I want to talk to you." Joab was called out by a woman. But not just any woman. The text calls her a wise woman. Have any of you ever been called out? You're about to make a foolish move, and a friend, a partner, a parent sees the mess you're about to make and calls you out. They show you the trouble you're about to cause for yourself. I've been called out a time or two. And I can say today that I'm grateful for people who see what I cannot see and help a sister out by speaking truth to me. Everyone needs a wise woman in her life, in their life. A woman who's been through some things and came out more insightful and less afraid of speaking up and out. The woman who called out Joab was a wise woman. Most probably a district judge in the town of Abel, a city known for its fair and just judicial system. This woman was a protector of her community and a woman of influence. She was a woman who seemed to understand the rights of her constituency, her community, which meant she also knew that Joab violated the law by attacking Abel without first seeking peace. She called him out. See, according to the law, peace was to be offered before a city was laid waste. According to the rules of war, you must address a verbal appeal to the city before you attack it. Joab didn't do that. The wise woman knew that what Joab was about to do was a violation of the law, and she possessed the courage to confront him with the truth. Something no man had ever done. So she called him out. See, it was no small thing that no man ever tried to call Joab out. Joab, a fierce and righteous warrior. I imagine Joab wasn't used to being called out. But because she knew the law, she did it. There's a lesson here for us. People, know your rights. Women, know your rights. On your job, know your personnel policies. Know the bylaws. Know the Constitution. Know Robert's Rules of Order. You never know when you may need to call someone out or when you may need to call the system to account. But when we do, we better have our facts straight, like this wise woman in Abel. She called Joab out, and when she did, something else happened. When she called him out, she also interrupted the battering of the wall. Do we have any interrupters in the house tonight? This wise woman was an interrupter. There's a group in Chicago called the Interrupters. They interrupt, they suspend, they interfere with the violence that is occurring in their communities. Chicago's Interrupters, through informed conversations, group meetings, and consistent involvement in their respective communities, they disrupt the violence. The Interrupters have one goal in mind: to save a life. Their tagline is, to cure it, you need to interrupt it. The woman in Abel was a violence interrupter who called out the one who was about to destroy the community she loved. I imagine Joab's men looking around wondering, wait, what? Did she just call out Joab, the military leader? Doesn't she know who he is and what he is capable of? Joab killed his own cousin for disobeying a direct order from David. Did she call him out? Why, yes, I believe she did. But it gets even better than that for me. Not only did she call him out, but Joab obliges her strong request. The Bible says when she called him out, Joab came near. Then she asked, "Are you Joab?" Now, of course, we know that names in the Hebrew Bible have meaning. The meaning of Joab in Hebrew is Yahweh is father. I imagine the wise woman thinking that Joab wasn't really living up to his name. Because in seeking to destroy the entire city to capture one scoundrel, Joab wasn't being a wise father. Even so, Joab answered, "I am Joab." So once she affirms his identity, the wise woman then advises Joab, "Listen to the words of your servant." He answered, "I am listening." Galileo, can I tell you how much I loved reading that part? The wise woman said, "Listen carefully to your servant," and Joab responded, "I am listening." Oh, how different our world would be if more military leaders said, "I am listening." What if we had more government officials who said to wise women, "I am listening"? What if we had leaders in the White House who, when a wise woman spoke, responded, "I am listening"? Wouldn't it be healing for someone to say to survivors of assault and intimate partner violence, "I am listening"? What if lawmakers would say to LGBTQ people and transgender persons and non-gender conforming persons, "I am listening"? Joab listened. Joab, the man in charge of the king's army, just as he was about to break through the wall of the city and capture Sheba, stopped what he was doing, laid aside his agenda, his strategic battle plan, and listened to a wise woman. He didn't try to mansplain his actions. He didn't assert his authority or power to make her feel small. He didn't tell her she was out of place. None of that. Joab listened. She speaks. He listens. This wise woman explained to Joab the historicity of Abel, how it was known for its wisdom and good judgment. In her dialogue with Joab, she makes it clear that to destroy Abel was to destroy that a city that was the mother of Israel, a go-to city for settling disagreements and lawsuits, because Abel was known as a city where right judgments always prevailed. The wise woman speaks, and Joab listens. He listens to a woman who had the ear of her community, a woman who knew the legal system, a woman of great influence. Joab listened to a wise woman who possessed the courage to confront him and show him the injustice he was about to mete out to innocent people. Joab listened to a woman who interrupted a siege, a confident woman who wasn't intimidated by patriarchy, people, politics, or power structures. In this text, the wise woman uses her voice, her critical thinking, and her influence as resistance to government officials about to destroy her city. This wise woman refused to be silent or silenced. Perhaps she knew, like Zora Neale Hurston, that if you are silent about your pain, they'll kill you and say you enjoyed it. She would not be silent. There was too much at stake for silence. What was at stake? The city, the community, her home, her hood, filled with families, children, friends, businesses, markets, and synagogues. This wise woman had communal concerns. She was a protector and preserver of community. She resisted militarism, which would have led to the complete destruction of her community, and she was not having it. In my imagination, I hear her saying, "Not up in here." And she had the influence to rally her community to handle business with the one who put their community at risk. Many of our communities are at risk. They're at risk of gentrification, becoming food deserts, at risk of deportation and unequal treatment based on race, sexual orientation, and gender roles. We can learn a thing or two from the wise woman of Abel about navigating and resisting these oppressive realities. She had in mind the best interests of the city and the people living in it. I wonder, do our respective city leaders have in mind the best interests of the people, or just their parts of the city? I can't speak for your city, but I know a little something about Dallas. Recently, the Urban Institute completed a study of 274 cities. The study was to determine each city's economic equity. How equitable were the businesses, were the practices? Out of 274 cities, Dallas ranked 274th, dead last, for economic equality. Dallas has the most economic inequity out of 274 cities studied. And yet, business is booming in Dallas. High rises are going up everywhere. Upscale apartments are coming to the Bishop Arts District, a community with a large Hispanic population. City leaders and the wealthy are battering down the walls of Oak Cliff, South Dallas, and other parts of town with a high concentration of poor folk. But the wise woman of Abel had in mind the best interests of her city and all the people who lived within its walls. Because of her credibility in the community and her wisdom, she knew the people would listen to her just as Joab had. So she assured Joab that they would deliver the head of Sheba. She wasn't willing to sacrifice an entire city for one scoundrel. Sheba was a troublemaker rather than a peacemaker. He entered Abel not with the best interest of the city in mind, but to save his own life and put the entire city and its people at risk of destruction. I've come to understand that everyone who comes into your city doesn't have in mind the best interest of the city. Every politician that comes to your church right before election doesn't have in mind the best interest of your community. And so the people, knowing this, listening to the wisdom of the wise woman, cut off the head of Sheba and threw it over the wall to Joab. What do we need to throw over the wall? What do we need to get rid of in our city? Well, I think we need to throw hatred over the wall. How about we throw sexism over the wall? How about that? What would happen if we threw implicit bias over the wall, heterosexism over the wall, gender binaries over the wall? We most certainly need to throw white supremacy and patriarchy and white fragility over the wall. These things don't make our city better, but worse. They slowly and methodically destroy the possibility for creating the beloved community. So the wise woman convinced her community to join together, to work in unity, to collaborate, to get rid of, to throw over the wall that which meant the city no good. Joab and the Abel community listened to a credible and convincing woman. Now, I have to admit that I was baffled by Joab's humble listening and acquiescence to the wise woman's voice. Joab wasn't typically a man who took advice from anyone, let alone a woman. There were times when Joab didn't even listen to the king. So why would he listen to a woman? So I did a little research and discovered something interesting. The woman in Abel was not the first wise woman Joab consulted with. In 2 Samuel 14, Joab called on the wise woman of Tekoa to assist him in negotiating a truce between David and Absalom. Joab seemed to understand the value of consulting and following the sage wisdom of women. He understood wise women were able to appropriate and communicate effectively the fundamental cultural values of their people and of their God. Somehow, Joab learned that wise women could be trusted because of their strength as diplomats, their depth of insight, self-possession, and intelligence. It wasn't lost on Joab that wise women were able to handle difficult situations with extraordinary skills, sensitivity, and courage. And so, when the wise woman of Abel used her influence to resist the destruction of her city, when she said, "Not up in here," Joab listened. Whenever a wise woman says, "Not up in here," she means it. She's going to protect her people. She's going to protect her country. She's going to protect her family, her community, and she's going to protect the rhinos in South Africa.
Thanks for listening to That's What She Said. This podcast is edited and produced by Nathan Berry and preached almost always by Reverend Dr. Katie Hayes. Galileo Church has four missional priorities. We do justice for LGBTQ+ people. We do kindness to those in mental and emotional distress and celebrate neurodiversity. We do beauty for our God who is beautiful. And we do real relationship, no bullshit ever. To support the ongoing production of this podcast and the missional priorities of Galileo Church, go to galileochurch.org and click on Conspire with Us. You'll have options to use your Venmo or PayPal, or use your credit card or bank account. Any amount helps, and if you're kind enough to share your contact information with us, we will continually send you thanks. Peace.